Take your Bibles now and turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We're going to read verses 42 to 47 in a few minutes. We finished up in the book of Jonah, and now we're going to start a series on community, thinking through what it means to be a community of God's people. So we'll read Acts chapter 2 in a few moments. Here in the state of Pennsylvania, if you want to adopt a child, whether internationally or domestically, you have to go through what's called a home study. And a home study is basically an inspection of your entire life. They check out your background, your financial stability, your home, your parenting skills and tools, your marriage, your relationships, along with pretty much any other aspect of life. Before you adopt a child, the state wants to make sure that your life, your home, is stable and ordered enough that you'll be able to love a child that will join the family. They want to make sure that this child would be appropriately cared for and loved. So before you adopt, you have to show that your home life is in order, to show that you'll be able to take care of this kid. There are a lot of sad stories of kids whose lives were pretty much destroyed because of growing up in abusive homes where they were neglected, dysfunctional families. They weren't loved and nurtured as they ought to have been. And many children don't recover from those kinds of experiences. Well, this kind of situation happens also within the church. Sometimes the community of the church can be so unhealthy that new believers are neglected and not appropriately cared for. Sometimes we as a church can be so cliquish, so divided, so hypocritical and dysfunctional that new disciples get neglected or are even abused. Sadly, oftentimes the church community proves to be too weak to love and care for young Christians that join them. Well, today, we're going to start a series on community in order to do our own sort of home study to see if we are, to develop our community, the Christian community particularly, so that we are ready to love and nurture and disciple baby Christians, young Christians that we hope will join us. Are we a community where the gospel has taken such deep root that we're able to love one another deeply and disciple one another through any trial or difficulty? Or are we so proud and cliquish and hypocritical and shallow that we could never appropriately love someone who joins our community? Tim Keller said that a community is the context for change. And so as we think about reaching the broader community around us, if we want to see the power of God transform the lives of those around us, then it will happen most fully as the gospel is lived out within the context of community. So this series will be our home study, our self-examination. And over the next weeks, we'll think through the question, are we a community that's prepared to love and disciple those that God gives to us? So with that in mind, let's read our passage, Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 42. This is the word of God. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. That's the word of God. As we begin our study on this idea of community, we have to first ask the question, is community really that important? Is it really that important to live intentionally together? We live in a busy American culture, an individualistic kind of lifestyle. And as a result, one author made the claim that the largest religious group in America are those who profess faith in Jesus Christ and yet do not attend church. They aren't a part of a community of God's people. Hundreds of thousands, likely millions of people have come to the conclusion that they can live the Christian life well all by themselves. They don't need to be committed to any kind of church community. They can float in and out of churches, come and go as they please, and serve God just as well. Is community really that important? Can't we do it on our own? Well, many have come to the conclusion that we can do it on our own. We can be faithful to God all by ourselves. We can reflect the glory of God all by ourselves. We can find the support and care from these other activities that we're part of that we don't need to be involved in an intentionally Christian community. That we can reach the world around us by ourselves by sharing the gospel with friends and coworkers. If we can do it all by ourselves, then community really isn't that necessary. Well, the pattern of Scripture is that wherever the gospel takes deep root, community develops. Community is a necessary byproduct of the gospel. God makes it abundantly clear that we aren't to do the Christian life all by ourselves. And when we try to, we paint a very poor, distorted picture of who God is and what He's done. Only in community can we more fully reflect the glory of God. Only in community can we reflect more fully who God is and what He's done for us. If we want to show the world the glory of God, of who He is and what He's done, then we need to live in community. That's where God and the gospel are most clearly seen and exhibited in this world. Yes, community is important because apart from it, we will not reflect the glory of God. We will not reach this world. We will not show this world the reality of who God is. So yes, it is important. As we look throughout the Bible, we find that community is the necessary byproduct of the gospel. Throughout the Old Testament, there is a very strong family centered community. The Israelites were basically one family that grew into a nation. And over time, they were tightly knit for a time, but as time grew on, they became divided and hypocritical and dysfunctional. They became very proud. But God, for this community, gave guidelines as to how they were to live together, how they were to live in community and take care of one another and love each other. Over time, though, this became a very exclusive community. They became proud of being the chosen people of God. They looked down on those around them who weren't maybe on the same level as they were. Well, when Christ came, He took this exclusive community and He blew it wide open. He blew this community open to show that it wasn't just for the Jews, but it was also for the Gentiles and people from any culture and any language was to be a part of this community through faith in Christ. Right at the beginning of the New Testament, or the New Testament church there in Acts, right after the Holy Spirit was poured out on the people there in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people responded to that message. And immediately those 3,000 people lived in community. They developed a community among themselves. Jews and Gentiles lived together. They shared their lives, their possessions. They took care of each other. They loved each other. As soon as the gospel took root, community developed. And as the community developed, God added to their number those who were being saved. This community was so distinct, so unique, that the world looked on and they saw a difference among these people and they wanted it. Where the gospel genuinely took root, community developed. before we look at the necessity of community and develop, think through that question a little more, we have to take a moment to think about what is community? What is this word that we're talking about? We're going to be developing this concept over the next weeks, but for our purposes today, let's get a general understanding of what biblical community looks like. The picture that we get in Acts 2 is that this community was devoted to God, and this community was devoted to one another. Devoted to God and devoted to one another. They were devoted to God in that they worshiped God regularly. They met regularly. Excuse me. They met regularly in the temple. They sat under the teachings of the apostles. They were praying. This was a community that enjoyed God. They lived to serve God. And they were also devoted to one another. They took care of each other. This wasn't a casual excuse me. This wasn't a casual friendship with a sort of come and go as you please kind of mentality, but this was a bond that cemented them together. This community traveled through the storms together. When things got tough for one person, the rest of the people in the community didn't just stand back and say, "Ah, that stinks for you," and then see how they got through it. No, they took care of each other. They felt responsible for each other. They recognized that it was their responsibility to care for the person next to them. That was the idea of community. They felt responsible for each other. In his book, Community and Growth, Jean Vanier says that the difference between a group of friends and a community is that a community recognizes that God has made them responsible for one another. That God has made them responsible for one another. So that means your well-being depends on me and my well-being depends on you. We're responsible for each other. We are responsible to see each other grow in our walk with God, to see that needs are met. Oftentimes, friendships are formed out of things that we enjoy, things that we get out of it. We enjoy being together. We have fun together. But when things get difficult, those friendships oftentimes break down. When it becomes difficult, we back away. But in community, since we are responsible for each other, we're responsible for each other's well-being, that's when we step in to help. We're there to support each other. The community there in Acts obviously was committed to each other. They took care of each other. They felt responsible for each other. They helped each other. They weren't in it for what they got out of it. They were in it to give themselves to one another. That's community. Community is not a come and go casual kind of thing, but it's a responsibility. We're responsible for each other. That's what the community of the church needs to be. Is this your sense of community? Or is it friendship that you're more interested in? Where you aren't obligated to do anything. Where you can come and go as you please. You don't have to commit. Well, that doesn't cut it. We have to develop the sense of community, the sense of responsibility for one another. We are to use this freedom that we have in Christ to commit to one another, to love one another in community. Now, throughout this community in Acts chapter 2, the word, the world got to see a clear reflection of two things through this community. The first thing that the world got to see was that this community reflected who God is. The community reflected who God is. After God made the world, He made mankind. He first made Adam and then later made Eve. In the account of creation, though, you'll find that before God created man, He had a discussion with Himself. And He said, "Let us make man in our image." This is one of the first references to the Trinity in the Bible. We, as the triune God, will make man in our image. And so he made Adam with knowledge and righteousness. He gave him a spirit. He gave him authority over the earth. He gave him the ability to communicate on a deep level, to have a relationship, all kinds of things. But later, God said, it's not good for man to be alone. Here, Adam was created in the image of God, and God said, it's not good. It's not yet good. It's not good for a man to be alone. And so he created Eve to be his companion. Now, it's important to understand here that God didn't create Eve simply because Adam was lonely. But rather, the major reason why God created Eve was because together, Adam and Eve would be a better reflection of who God is than they would be alone. Together, they reflected who God is rather than alone. In his book about relationships called Relationships, A Mess Worth Making, Paul Tripp wrote this. He said, creating Eve had more to do with God's design for humanity than Adam's neediness. More to do with God's design for humanity than Adam's neediness. What he's saying here is that the creation of Eve had more to do with finishing the work of creating us in his image rather than the simple response to Adam's loneliness. God is a social being. In eternity past, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they enjoyed sweet communion together, community together. Perfect, happy, unbroken fellowship and love with one another. They loved each other. They knew each other deeply. And they were so united in this community that they were actually one God, the Trinity. Well, in order to reflect this image into the world, God created humans also to be in community, to be in community together, to love one another, to know each other deeply. So by himself, Adam couldn't fully reflect the glory of who God is. He needed Eve to do that. He had to be in relationship, to be in community. With Eve, he could reflect the glory of the triune God. By trying to live alone, we're making the statement that all I need is my relationship with God and nothing else matters. But in reality, if we are to serve our purpose that God's created us to serve as image bearers of God, we need to be in community, to be in relationship with one another. We need to feel, we need to recognize that we're not better off alone. We need to recognize that when we choose to be alone, we actually fail to reflect the glory of who God is. Now, this doesn't mean that everyone has to be married in order to reflect the glory of God. But it means that we are to live in community. So whether you are single or married, you are called into relationship, not only with God, but with one another, to know and to be known, to love and to be loved. In our individualized society, there's a tendency to value independence. I don't have to report to anyone. I don't have to check in. I can do what I want when I want. And many of you here may think that you're better off that way on your own, free, spontaneous. You have no obligations, few responsibilities, few commitments holding you down. And when relationships get hard, since you don't need them, you back off rather than come to the aid, content to cut ties and to live free. This may be the way that you live. This may be the way that you want to live, but this is not the way that you are created to live. You may not feel the necessity to be in relationships, but in order to reflect the glory of God, the image of God in us, we are to be in community. He created us for community. Does your life, does your mentality reflect that? Does it reflect the community of the triune God? By living intentionally in community, we show the world who God is. So by living in community, we reflect the Trinity, the holy community. Now there's a second image that's used in Scripture that shows also the importance of community. And that image is the body of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul wrote that the church is the body of Christ. We are all members of one body. Some of us are hands, others are feet, some of us are eyes, others ears, some of us are freckles. All of us belong to one body. And we can see very easily how that suggests the idea of community, right? We can't do the work ourselves. We need to work together in order to accomplish anything. A hand would be useless if it decided to cut itself off from the body because it wouldn't be able to see or hear or have nourishment. It wouldn't be able to do anything. We also would be useless if we fail to connect ourselves to the body, to that community. We have to work together as a congregation in order to accomplish the work that God has given to us. And as a congregation, as members of the broader Christian community, we are called to work together in order to accomplish what God has called us to do. If we separate ourselves, then we're going to be rendered ineffective, useless, just like a hand cut off from the body is useless. We'll be useless for the kingdom. So we are one body, one community, and we are to act like it if we're going to accomplish anything. Now, it is true that we are connected, we are united together in a body, but it's important to remember that it's not just any body that we're united together in, but we are united together as the body of Christ. In his book, The Connecting Church, Randy Frazee wrote that biblical community is the life of Christ on earth. When the church is fully functioning, it exudes the presence, power, and purpose of Jesus Christ. We are the body of Christ. Jesus, after he rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and there he's ruling there from heaven over the entire universe. His physical body is in heaven, but he is still present here on earth through us, the church community, his body. The church community reflects the life of Christ right here on earth. When we live in community, we live out the life of Christ. We carry on his ministry. We show his love. There's an intriguing verse in 1 John 4. Verse 12, it says that no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This verse says that when we love one another, when we are living in community, which is what love is that he speaks of, we, along with the whole world, get to see a reflection of who God is because he lives in us and his love is completed in us. John Stott said, God's love, which originated in himself and which was clearly shown in the life of Jesus Christ, is made perfect in us. It's made complete when we love. One of the primary ways that God shows his love to this world is through the church, through God's community, the body of Christ. God's love is made complete in us. When we live in community, we reflect the body of Christ. So by living in this intentional Christian community, we reflect the Trinity and we reflect the body of Christ. We show the world who God is by the way that we live together. It's not good for a person to be alone because by being alone, we fail to reflect the image and glory of God. Community is necessary. Now, the Christian community is not only meant to reflect who God is, but it's also meant to reflect what God has done here on earth as well. Through community, we reflect the reconciliation that comes only through the gospel. Through community, we reflect the reconciliation that only comes through the gospel, restored relationships. When sin entered the world, the image of God that we were created to be was shattered. It was shattered in many different ways, in every single way. We were created to have a relationship of love and peace with God, but now because of our sin, we are born enemies with God now. And not only are we enemies with God, but every relationship that we have here on earth is tainted and distorted. Adam and Eve instantly began to have problems. Adam blamed Eve and even blamed God for his sin. Sin devastated every relationship that we have. But the good news is that God sent his Son to die on the cross to bring reconciliation, to restore relationships, to restore us in the image of God. When Jesus died on the cross, he took away our sins, those sins that divided us and God. The sins that broke our relationship with him were now taken away so that we can once again have peace with God. We're no longer under condemnation. We no longer fear the wrath and curse of God. But as Romans 5:1 says, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. A restored relationship. But not only did God reconcile us to God, not only did Jesus reconcile us to God, but he also reconciled us to one another. In Ephesians 2:13, the Apostle Paul wrote about how the cross of Christ not only was meant to establish peace between us and God, but also peace between one another. He wrote this, "For he, Jesus Christ, he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile them both to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility." That whole passage speaks about the unity that we have together as brothers and sisters in Christ. We focus a lot on our relationship with God, how Jesus Christ has reconciled us to God and that we have peace with God. But we often forget that Jesus also died to establish peace between us as members of his body. Through Christ, God has torn down that wall of hostility that existed between us so that we could once again have restored relationships. We could be at peace. Jesus didn't die on the cross. The Trinity wasn't torn in two so that we could have a relationship with God but still be at odds with one another. No, he died to bring peace to all of our relationships, to our relationships with one another. Through Jesus Christ, we are members of one body called to peace. You know very well that the church is filled with sinful people. We are all broken, struggling with sin from one degree to another. And with sinful people, relationships become difficult and challenging. We sin against each other. We get offended. Relationships get tense. And our tendency is to avoid and just want to get out of the situation. We want to leave. But because Jesus died on the cross, we are bound to one another. We are bound together, and we are obligated to pursue peace and reconciliation with one another, to forgive as God forgave you in Christ, to take time, to have the humility to work through problems. We have to pursue reconciliation in order to reflect the gospel in this world. Jesus died to bind us together, to bring reconciliation to our relationships, to bring those who once hated each other to embrace. Now, this doesn't happen as cleanly as we'd like or as quickly as we'd like, but this is what we have to pursue with one another. We pursue peace and reconciliation. When that New Testament church began, it was filled with all different kinds of people, people from different cultures, different backgrounds. These were people who were at once at odds, but through the power of the gospel, they became a loving community. And by living in community, they were acting out, they were exhibiting to the whole world the reconciliation of the gospel. Is community really that important? Absolutely. We are made to reflect the triune God, and we are made to reflect the reality of the gospel. And we can only do this in community. This world is filled with conflict and hatred, loneliness and emptiness, and we are to live as a community of peace and love, a community that reflects who God is and what He's done for us, a community of hope. Is that what we are? Is that what we work towards? Do you seek to live in community? Is this your desire? Are you ready to give up yourself in order to be responsible for one another, in order to reflect our triune God and the body of Christ? Are you ready to do the hard work of reconciliation, to pursue reconciliation with all people, in order to show the world the power of reconciliation that comes through the gospel? Are we ready to do this? It's easy to talk about community. And I know for sure that all of us have different ideas of what community would look like. Oftentimes we have these grand ideas of how great it would be and how nice it would be. But the reality is that it's messy and hard and will take sacrifice. And you're going to be disappointed. But it is vitally important if we want to reach this world. If we want to see God do His work in us, do His work through us, then we must be intentional in living together as the people of God. Let's pray. Our God, we thank You for the work that You've done for us. You not only created us, but then You recreated us through the power of the gospel, through the cross of Jesus Christ. And You've done that so that You would have a testimony here on earth that Your a reflection of Your Trinity would be here on earth, that a reflection of the reconciliation of the gospel will be revealed and shown, exhibited here on earth, that the body of Christ would be seen. We recognize that we too are guilty of not pursuing this kind of relationship, this kind of community. We are content to live at odds together. We are content to have broken relationships. But we ask and plead with You that Your Spirit would be poured out on us, that peace would be established here, that we as a community would learn to love and to give ourselves to one another. As we do this, as You cause this to grow in us, let us reflect Your glory into this world so that the community around us will see Your glory and would give praise to Jesus Christ. Do this for Your name's sake, not our own. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.